You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, it's Dave here, and this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. But that's not what you're going to hear today. This is a bonus episode. It's a sneak look into our Patreon feed. This is the kind of stuff which we throw over at patreon.com/TheCinemile. So we review TV shows, but we also look back at retro movies or more recent movies like this. And we asked our patrons, in the spirit of Irish cinema being so well represented last year, give us an Irish movie. And, you know, they clearly hate us because they chose Wild Mountain Time. So Cathy and I did a long spoiler-filled chat about that, which was a lot of fun, over on our Patreon feed. And we thought, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, which is today, we would share this with the rest of you on the main feed. Because it is, you know, completely emblematic of Irish culture and the complete embodiment of it. So here it is. Enjoy.
Welcome to Ireland. Once upon a time, there were two farms. The Muldoon farm, where Rosemary lived, and right down the road was my farm, where my son Anthony asked his lonely question of the stars.
Why did you make me so?
Rosemary Muldoon, besotted with love.
There's these green fields, and there's us. Whatever that is, it holds me here.
Oh, when he says those things.
It's not normal.
I don't care.
You take after John Kelly, and that man was mad as the full moon, drowned himself.
He fell in.
He had a rock tied to his neck.
Rosemary, we're known to each other quite the while now. Would you marry me?
Are you going to leave the farm to Anthony?
I don't see a clear path.
From where to where?
From me to you.
My cousin is coming.
What do you think?
It's the finest car I've ever seen.
You'd offer the farm to an American.
I'm waiting for that one.
What are you waiting for?
Me, I don't wait.
I do like that.
You should come to New York sometime.
Anthony. Never mind.
If it comes to that, I'll freeze my eggs.
You should freeze your whole body if you're waiting for that one.
Won't you go, lassie, go.
And we'll all come together in the wild mountain time. All around the blooming heather,
will you go, lassie, go.
So, and that's what happens in Ireland every night. We all just sing around.
That's also my review of the movie.
Singing that song. I think this movie, but first of all, we're going to spoil. I think we should just spoil. We're going to spoil this movie.
Yeah, we spoil it.
Just so you know. Now, I'm going to say, I think knowing the end of this movie, it's still fine to watch it. And I won't say enjoy it. I would say you can appreciate it.
I think, though, if you are ever tempted to watch it and you haven't watched it yet, I would say watch it before you
listen
to it.
Yeah, go watch it and come back to us.
It has a very, and I say very, unexpected ending.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not see coming.
Correct.
And that's actually cool. So
now, I think this film
should, don't listen if you haven't.
But however, we're not recommend. I'm not recommending. I don't think I could recommend anyone watch this. If you have an inclination to watch this, it is certainly a sight to behold.
It's a sight to behold.
It is quite unusual.
And I will say that it is not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yes, but neither is it good.
No.
This movie should be judged, I think, on two counts.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, its representation of modern Ireland. Number two, its own merits as a movie. It fails on both counts for my money.
Yeah.
It does not really hold up as a
narrative
or the characters.
I thought it was set in the past for ages. Yeah. And then it suddenly, when I realized it was set like in 2019.
Well,
I was shook.
Let's address the first point then. Because I think that's kind of the theme we're looking at here. Ireland on the big screen and how it's represented.
And in particular, there's a term, Irish.
Now you're always...
This film is, and things like this often are written by an Irish American
I only learned this at the end of this movie. Is this the lad that wrote Moonstruck, whose name I don't have to have, but Kathy's doing the fun facts today, so I didn't have to do anything.
But he is Irish American. He hasn't, to my research.
It smacks of an Irish American having written it.
Like, no person who's spent any amount of time living in Ireland would write this film.
So he's the John Hamm character. Like, the John Hamm character is clearly an analogue for himself.
And he did say that it's based kind of somewhat on his family.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, there is nothing wrong with being an Irish American and having a romantic perspective of Ireland and portraying that on the screen. He is entitled to do that, and that is largely what he has done. But I am just to come back to the two points we're judging this on. Number one, is this an accurate portrayal of modern Ireland? It absolutely is not. And if anything, and it's fine, but
that's
fine. You can present this as a romantic
portrayal.
However, my concern is that the audience, we're already, the perception of Ireland on the international stage often goes hand in hand with this. And by the way, we the Irish are culpable for A, having created and perpetuated this a little bit, B, leaning into it. But it exists, this sort of... this perspective of Ireland as old-fashioned and green hills and it's all farms and that is only one tiny aspect of modern Ireland.
It's an extremely valuable lucrative part of the Irish economy, though, people coming to visit Ireland for that reason.
Sure.
And I don't think Irish people ever create that image of themselves, but... And they actually pretty actively reject it. Like, you know, this film was not well received by Irish people and Irish critics. So Irish people kind of fundamentally object to this. I don't personally mind at all an American's romantic notions of Ireland. So I'll forgive it. Even though I truly thought it was set in like maybe the 70s for ages into the film. It took me ages to realize that it was set in present day. And I did think it was set in the 70s and I didn't mind it to be set then. I think being set now, I don't mind it being in an accurate portrayal of the country, but it's just how they spoke was just so silly.
Well, this is the thing.
The language is so
they're doomed from the start when they cast the majority non-Irish actors.
Yeah. Right?
I think that's an issue. Because you're already
they're not
goosed.
Majority non-Irish. There's just very few actors in it. So Jamie Dornan is Irish. Emily Blunt is...
Of the primary cast...
But the primary cast is only three people. So
two-thirds of them are not Irish.
Yeah, but
so
one of them's English.
I stand by
like,
my...
Emily Blunt's close enough, and I actually...
English ain't Irish, the last I checked.
Yeah, but I'm saying from an accent point of view, like where I got slammed from the trailer and where that carried through for me in this film, it's actually Christopher Walken that's butchered the accent. Emily Blunt,
Rosemary Muldoon!
Jamie Dornan, while he's from Northern Ireland, he does a grand Southern accent. And Emily Blunt, to my mind, does a grand accent. Like, they're not amazing. But, like, Christopher Walken...
They did an okay job. The problem with them is the words coming out of their
mouth. Yeah, the words, the script.
I do not sound like a 30-something Irish farmer in... And by the way, I'm coming at this from a perspective of a lot of my family are farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And
guess what? They sound like normal people.
They don't talk like this. This isn't how... And then particularly like young people. If this was... Even if this was... they were 60-year-olds, I'd still question how they're talking to each other and what they're talking about. These two people... And I will try and give the movie some credit here again in that... When I discovered that this was the writer of Moonstruck, it all did kind of click into place because that movie has weird, quirky characters as well. Like Nicolas Cage and Cher's characters are odd.
That
is weird.
Their
chemistry is odd.
Yeah.
Their romance is odd.
And they speak weirdly. So I'm kind of like, it kind of clicked for me that this is how he writes characters, and it is sort of his MO. But it's still so bloody jarring. I'm like, who are you people? Where, what decade are you living in?
Yeah.
What, and it's like, I can't, and it, I also struggle to relate with them anyway, because they're quirky, weird characters. I struggled to understand any decisions that they made,
yeah,
or their motivations.
But they should have just said it, like, if they just said it in the 70s, it would have been fine. I truly think a lot of the issues people have with the film, and I say 70s because, like, you can't be going too far back in Irish history because it's just so dramatically different from now.
I would say Ireland the 60s. I think
Ireland as a nation, though, I think...
In the 50s and 60s, Ireland was an incredibly impoverished nation.
No, it was. I'm just saying my feeling of this film was that, like, she's way more progressive than we would have had. Like, she wouldn't have quite fit into the 50s model either.
Well, she kind of was until the end, when she becomes that, like, and we'll talk about the end, obviously, but she becomes really weirdly patriarchal as a character.
But what's interesting is, though,
man and have a Guinness and you're so strong and tall and I want to be kept. And, like, yeah, but, these are the things she's saying.
Yeah, but she's saying it, though, in that, in an empowered way, if she's proactively saying, I want you to be like that. And that's a different... To my mind, anyway, regardless of...
Anyway.
My bigger issue with it isn't actually any of the Irishness, right? Because I do forgive that a bit. Albeit I really enjoy it.
You forgive it?
I forgive it a little bit. My problem is, genuinely, and I truly mean this, for the first half hour of the film, I did not know what was happening.
No, same.
It jumps straight into stuff
I don't think he's a good director.
That's when Dave said, I feel like this is a play. And I was like, there's no way this is a play, because, like, who'd have ever watched it? Do you know what? The play of this, called Outside Mullingar, early fun fact, won a Tony Award.
Oh, wow.
In 2012.
Does that mean it's a musical? Are the Tony's musicals, or are they just all plays?
It can just be theatre, I think.
Oh, okay.
So this is an award-winning play. Now, I say an award-winning play in America.
In America, yeah. See, this is the problem. This plays well in America because it plays, and this is the concern with setting it in modern Ireland, I think it reinforces and perpetuates stereotypes.
I don't think it reinforces perpetuates any stereotypes, because this film is a laughing stock.
But I think there exists a perception of Ireland in America already, because we have such close ties with that country. You know, a large, huge percentage of our population emigrated there,
mm-hmm.
and there are huge connections, as this movie leans into, with Ireland and America. But there is a rose-tinted romantic view of it, I think this movie is just playing into it, and it is not a reality.
I don't think it's a reality, but I don't mind it being played into either, because I often think that without the American 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th generation Irish American people having that sense of nostalgia for Ireland, we'd have way less films than we actually have in terms of Irish cinema. For better or worse, it's better for the industry that they exist. It's good for our tourism industry. It never grates on me as much as it grates on other people.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't. What grates on me
I didn't find it offensive. I found it laughable.
It doesn't at all offend me, this film.
Okay, I agree.
But what is weird to me is that I truly felt like, putting the dialogue aside, okay, because dialogue can be a matter of taste, but the actual pacing and, like, explanation of what was happening on the screen, like, I could truly barely follow it, and, like, it's mad to me. So he won an Oscar for Moonstruck. He was nominated for an Oscar. He made Doubt with Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh yeah, I didn't
he
see
made
that,
the play.
Actually.
He wrote the play and made the movie. Like, he's really accomplished. This didn't feel like a film that was made by an accomplished director.
No, it and the
maybe he's not used to directing, though. Maybe he's only used to writing.
I thought the movie did not look good. There was TV quality at points.
It was only shot in 5 weeks, and that's a tiny shooting window for a film.
Yeah, but it didn't hold together. I struggled, as you said, with a sense of place, a sense of motivation, mm-hmm. a sense of the characters' relationships to each other.
Mm-hmm.
The movie throws you in with some like awful narration from Christopher Walken at the beginning, which is all like, then the Muldoons and the
Will I tell you what at the opening
the
line
and the
Will I tell you what the
arms and go on.
Will I tell you what the opening line of this is? Welcome, this is Christopher Walken. Welcome to Ireland. My name's Tony Riley. I'm
he says,
dead.
Welcome to Ireland. Does he? Okay, go on.
And then he says, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Because he's speaking from beyond the grave. And I say, he says all this.
Which is also a lame, that's a lame trope to have a dead narrator.
But he says all this in an American accent. Go on. Like every
no,
now
no,
and then.
No, he says that in a Christopher Walken accent.
Yeah, his voice is so distinctive. And like every fifth word he tries to sound Irish, he just gives it up, goes back to being American again. Now we were watching this thinking, why is Christopher Walken in this film? But when I read that it was only, well, first when I read that it's actually a really esteemed writer, which I would have never guessed. You know, it's been a Tony Award winning play. Like, I can see the attraction. And then secondly, 5 weeks in Ireland. Like, that's a nice proposition for an actor. You can come to Ireland. You can do a very quick shoot.
Yeah, I don't blame any of the actors for signing onto this. I don't. I think the issue is in the execution. I think it's not. It's difficult material. Difficult to translate for an actor. I think they did an okay job, Jamie Dornan and Emily Blunt, with what they had. I think I just think the material is weird.
They seem to be really enjoying themselves, though. I did get the sense, and I do like that in a film, of like they're enjoying it. Interestingly, Jamie Dornan's wife composed the music.
Oh yeah.
So that would have been nice for him and his wife. And then, in fairness to the film, they had Wild Mountain Time, which you've heard the cinema rendition of. And what I really like about the use of Wild Mountain Time, or like Go Lassie Go, whatever the song's actually called, I think it's really nice that they. I don't know why they changed the name of the movie from Outside Mullingar to Wild Mountain Time, because Wild Mountain Time sounds like a spoof. Outside Mullingar doesn't. But anyway,
actually, Wild Mountain Time is more of a romantic title, which I think this movie is trying to be.
It was too like Irish. I think it's part of what sparked the utter hatred from Irish people towards this film.
Outside Mullingar is a terrible title. That sounds like I'm giving directions to somebody.
I really like it. But anyway, what I like though, when you've leaned in, when that's going to be your film title, you have to lean in. And I think they really did, because like they opened the film with Jamie Dornan's mom singing Wild Mountain Time. The middle of the film had Emily Blunt singing Wild Mountain Time while Christopher Walken wept. And then spoilers for the end of the film now. Proper spoiler warning here. At the end of the film, and this is not the shocking bit, is Emily Blunt and Jamie Dornan singing Wild Mountain Time together.
So it is sung a lot. And I know we were kind of laughing earlier that, you know, we made a joke that everyone sings that all the time. However, I actually think this is one of the things the movie got right. And I would like to talk about that for a second, the things the movie got right about Ireland. Number one,
Irish people love singing.
Do sit around singing in pubs, mm-hmm. and that still happens, mm-hmm. and it's something I love about Ireland, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud of. And that song, we have sat in a pub with your dad and all his brothers and sisters singing that very song. Mm-hmm. So now the only thing that jarred with me is there's never a stage, there's never a talent show. That bit is BS.
But I guess there might be a talent show, because I actually heard on our local radio the other day that there was going to be a talent
Cork's
show.
I know, Cork's Got Talent, but that's not like...
No, but this was like Mullingar's Got Talent, I guess.
Yeah, but that, go to that. Go to that, anybody who lives in Ireland. That's kids going up on stage and doing, you know, that's not the sing song. That's not what this put. Like my dad and your dad have always been involved in trad and mm-hmm. Irish music and sing songs in the pub. That is a very healthy culture, and it does exist.
For people who don't live in Ireland, the sing song that is more indicative is actually the ones in Banshees of Inisherin. That's more like what an Irish pub would be like.
That is actually from the past.
Well, yeah, but yeah, also, yeah. Yeah, that's
but,
really...
But that is it, yeah. Brendan Gleeson round a table with a few, what were those, fiddle players or whatever. But the other things I think this got right is I thought Christopher Walken's and Jamie Dornan's farm, the set, the interior, was bang on.
I think it was real, though. It wasn't a set. I think they were actually
Maybe it's on location then, yeah. But it was... bang on location casting, because mm-hmm. I've been in that kitchen.
Yeah, same.
That kitchen is and it is out of the past. It's not representative of modern Ireland, but you know, that's my uncle's kitchen on the farm. You know, this like, it's very 70s 80s aesthetic, but nothing's been updated.
Yeah,
still has like the old stove. That was my grandmother's house, so that felt like absolutely bang on the money to me.
Definitely.
And the rest, and then really everything else is just the accents, the dialogue, everything else is just
But then
wrong.
It's more and more, so we need to get into the plot now, right? Because we haven't got into it yet. And this is my massive spoiler warning, okay, around the plot. So it's kind of this fairly ludicrous plot where they live in the farms next door from each other. There's some kind of, there was some indication either in the trailer or the Netflix synopsis or in general press reviews that it was something to do with like warring families and that it was kind of a Romeo and Juliet situation. It's not that at all, right? They live in land next door to each other. Emily Blunt's always been in love with Jamie Dornan their whole lives, but because this movie lurches us into the present, shows us a clip of them as kids and a clip of them now, what I couldn't quite get was, have they not spoken in 30 years, or is it just that they always talk and their relationship has never progressed? And I still don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah, same.
But she is obsessed with him, infatuated with him. He has no interest in her and he's like very odd. And Jamie Dornan himself said in interviews that he's like, he reckons the characters on some form of spectrum. He's very socially odd.
No, he's a bee.
Well, that's the reveal. That's the reveal.
That's the answer.
We find out at the end because we are like, well,
it's not
come
the spectrum,
on.
It's just a bee.
All the questions we were asking to each other as it was going on, where he just shows no interest in Emily Blunt, but he simultaneously has nothing else to do except hook up with Emily Blunt. I was like, well, is he gay? Is he asexual? Is he? I was like, this, what's happening here? Because I couldn't figure it out. And then it towards the end, she actually asks him. But again, she says, are you a homosexual? And I was like, who would ask that? Like, you'd say, are you gay? But anyway,
I think she said are you gay?
Oh, did she? Okay. But anyway, then he's like, no, I'm not. And then in the end, he's like, oh, you'll run away if I tell you. And
you'll
she's like,
be
what? And he's
afraid.
Like, he's like, I'm a honeybee.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? And he's like,
now,
I
can't remember, does he say, I think I'm a honeybee or I am a honeybee? I think he says, I think I'm a honeybee.
He's a bee.
Like, he's what? A bee. He is a bee.
What the hell?
It like was really what? Left field, but then they had been dropping. There was a lot of bee action going on. He helps free a bee. He's sniffing pollen.
And also at the very beginning, we had put on the subtitles because we truly couldn't understand what was happening between the accents and how badly the whole thing was directed. And there was like, at one point we couldn't hear anything, but the subtitle said bees buzzing. And we were like, what? Why are they putting bee noises in the like, subtitles?
So what's going on? Right, he thinks he's a bee, she thinks he's a swan.
He says she's a flower.
My problem with the whole thing is not that he thinks he's a bee, because that's just mad and wacky and kind of interesting.
Yeah, really interesting, but it was thrown in at the end.
But then it's thrown in the end and they do nothing with
they
it.
They do nothing
like,
with it.
Like, this is
it,
my
yeah.
problem is yeah. that, like, if someone tells you, I think I'm a honeybee, You have about 100 follow-up questions. She is not interested in any of them.
No,
she's just like, I accept you for who you are. You are a honeybee. And she's just so infatuated with him. And I think
that's nice, though.
It's kind of nice.
But
and
you
I think,
would have more follow-up questions.
I think that's
questions.
What the movie's trying to tell us, right? Is that, and I just don't think it's a satisfying ending. Not because he's a bee, but because he has spent 90% of this movie avoiding her and not expressing any interest in her. And then at the last 10%, the movie wants us to believe that he has just been unsure of how to approach her. He's very awkward and shy. He wants the ring. He wants this perfect thing. He's actually loved her his
yeah,
whole
that's,
time.
It was really
his
confusing.
Whole life. That doesn't ring true to me.
But I don't think it rang. No, but I think that wasn't what the movie was saying, though. I think Christopher Walken was like, I'm not going to leave you the land unless you get married. And then he decided to propose to her. Because she was like living next door, basically.
Oh, okay.
He did say she was beautiful.
Well, again, none of this was clear.
Yeah,
to
none
me.
Of it was
none
clear.
None of this was conveyed.
Also, complete
very well.
Side plot, right? Where Christopher Walken, or main plot, Christopher Walken's questioning whether or not to leave him his land, right? Because he's saying, you're not going to have children and I want the land to stay in our family for generations. So I might sell it to your hot cousin, John Hamm. But then anyway, that all gets resolved. Emily Blunt flies to... It was quite funny when she flew to New York for a day just to go to the ballet. Like, she's an interesting character.
Yeah.
And then she kind of has her, like, whole pretty woman vibe, I guess. She's all dressed up and she goes to the theatre and she goes to kind of hooks up with John Hamm. I enjoyed all that, as weird as it was. But mainly the point on Christopher Walken is, like, he's on an oxygen tank or whatever, he's got some sort of condition, and at bedtime he's saying to Jamie Dornan, they have this epiphany moment in bed, and he's saying to him, I love you, I've left you the farm. And he starts like smoking a pipe and Jamie Dornan's like, oh well, you can't smoke, you've got oxygen. And he's like, oh, not tonight, I'm leaving the oxygen off and I'm ready to die. And I'm like, so this is euthanasia then at this point? And then we just never see Christopher Walken again and he's just dead.
Well, he told us he was dead in the narration at the beginning.
Whereas Emily Blunt got like two funerals for her parents.
You do see him in the end as a ghost.
Oh, you see him as a ghost, of course, in the pub.
But that's actually another thing I think they got right. We do sit around with ghosts.
Yeah, that's true. It was very much like the end, the Neighbours, for spoiler for the very last episode of Neighbours, but there was a lot of ghosts hanging around in the final scene of that. But no, he basically just went to bed, like chose to die, didn't take his oxygen, and we never saw any more about it. And that's jarring. Is it like Christopher Walken just went, you know what, lads, it's a shit movie, I'm leaving. Like, he's missing a scene. But I rewatched the trailer there after we watched it when I was doing the fun facts, and the trailer is so bad for two reasons. So firstly, Christopher Walken narrates it, which they should have never let happen when they heard the accent.
I mean, he should never have been cast.
And B, they should have
made... There are so many like old accomplished male Irish actors could have chosen.
Yeah, but you can, like, if you're the playwright and Christopher Walken's willing to do it, like, you're gonna cast him, like.
Okay.
And then the second point is the trailer was just way too long and silly. I think it could have had an air of mystique about it, like he's hiding a dark secret. Do you want to hear do you want to hear some of the fun facts?
Yes,
I love this one.
Yes,
so this is I'll start from the beginning, actually. It's an interesting one to do fun facts on because it's a very recent movie, which means, like, in a general sense, there's not that many fun facts and it's not based on real events, but it's just a fascinating one to read about because it's so odd. I already mentioned the director John Patrick Shanley is an American playwright, screenwriter, and director. So he's won an award for Moonstruck. His play Doubt, a Parable, won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama, and in 2005 it won the Tony Award for Best Play. He then wrote the film adaptation and earned a nomination for the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. Like, highly credited writer, and outside Mullingar. Won a Tony Award in 2014. Starred Deborah Messing in the lead role. He really wanted the lead girl to have red hair. Yeah.
I wonder why. Because everyone in Ireland has red
hair. But Emily Blunt didn't go full redhead. It was like more like strawberry blonde. We were also like, that's amazing that, like, I'm not at all saying farmers can't be good looking, because they can be, but what they probably wouldn't generally be is like,
are you trying to
I'm
say?
Saying they wouldn't be fully made up at all times when they're out working on
the
farm.
Yeah, there were a few moments we commented, like, she looks like she just stepped off the Paris fashion show.
Yeah, she definitely wears Prada.
Incredibly, like incredible coats.
Gorgeous coat, like amazing makeup.
But honestly, that's fine with me. Like,
it's fine with me, but don't tell me she's a farmer then.
I'll buy that you can have a farmer who likes nice clothes in modern Ireland. That's fine. I won't buy.
But not, they won't wear them while they're farming, though.
She'll talk about, I don't know, like, anything they said in this movie. Well, did not sound like a 30-something-year-old in 2020.
We forgot to talk about the Guinness in this movie, because it's funny. Jamie Dornan is a rep for Guinness now, but I don't think he was when they made this film. And, like, in the pandemic,
he refuses to drink it.
He refuses to drink Guinness in this film. But in the pandemic or post-pandemic, Guinness brought out these amazing, like, cans that you can, like, pour your own Guinness at home, and they're lovely. But in this movie, they make quite a meal out of being like, there's a new bottle of Guinness now, but it tastes terrible. And then she gets the bottle and she's like trying to get Jamie Dornan drunk, I guess. And then, so they take one.
I don't know what anyone was trying to do
at any
point.
And she takes a small bottle of Guinness, and then so no one in Ireland would ever do this, like, categorically. She then gets two very small glasses. They don't even share the bottle of Guinness. They each have like a third of a bottle of Guinness.
Didn't even fill up the glass. And it was a tumbler.
It was like a tumbler of Guinness. And then they actually are like, that's lovely Guinness. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, no Irish person would ever do that. Like, the absolute minimum Guinness you can pour is a half pint. Speaking of someone who lives a half pint of Guinness. Anyway.
Yeah, but he's a honeybee, so he's only got so much, you know. So much of that. He's full up on sweet, sweet nectar.
Can I say what I thought was going to... You know the way at the end? So basically there's the talent show where she sings Wild Mountain Time, and then a year later there's the talent show, but they're together, right? Uh-huh. First of all, I give the director some restraint for not having her cradling a bump, which is what you generally see after.
I would not have been surprised.
Like, it would have been so lame. And then, truly, secondly, because the film had gone so wacky at that point, I actually thought that they might have had like a song like Honey to the Bee That's for Me, and that would have been funny. And it's like the film didn't lean into how funny the premise was.
Sorry, that's actually another thing. This film is not funny.
It's very po-faced.
It tries to be funny. No, it tried to be funny regularly, and it was not.
Honey to the Bee would have been a good, or Sweets for My Sweet.
The film doesn't. The film. I don't think the film has a very good sense of humor. And I think the actors are doing a lot of... Jamie Dornan does a lot of, like, pratfalls in this.
But we know Jamie Dornan's a good comedic actor.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in Barb
and Margo, the Costa del Star. right?
Or, yeah, whatever that movie's called.
He's very funny in that.
Do you know what he could have done? Honey, honey, how you thrill me. Uh-huh. I do think it was both him and Emily Blunt singing. That was my sense of it. And they're both lovely singers. Anyway, back to the casting. Jamie Dornan, no audition. Of course, did a short phone call with Stanley.
He's okay in this. Like, they're both cool.
I'm not saying he's bad at all. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you're Jamie Dornan, you don't need to audition.
Yeah.
Apparently, the director started from the place of, I want a dark, brooding, romantic lead, and I looked across the landscape of international English-speaking actors. Shani, maybe you should have just looked in Ireland first, because FYI, two of them are up for nominations in the Oscars right now. I couldn't find anybody that fit the bill as well as Jamie. He laughs before adding, this was in an interview, he's already thought of as connected with romance, but perhaps a bit more lurid than I was going to do.
Lurid. This movie's not lurid.
No, he's referring to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh,
what
right,
he's known
right,
for.
Okay, I see.
And then interestingly, in terms of alternate casting, the only one I can find is that actually in May 2019, when this film was announced, and it was announced as an adaptation of Outside Mullingar, it hadn't got its new name yet, Holiday Granger was the woman. Do you remember who she is?
Who's that again?
She is the star of the Corman Strike TV series. Also has red hair.
Oh, yeah.
She's good.
I could see her as that. Yeah.
I think Emily Blunt brought a lot of personality to this, though. I'm a big
fan of Emily
Blunt.
Well, she's a much bigger name.
Yeah, but she's also got... Emily Blunt's quite a radiant person, and I truly think for all the mad shit that was going on, Emily Blunt made it work. I think the film would have been a lot lesser if she wasn't in it. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah.
Do
you think they had good chemistry? I don't think there was any chemistry, but I think that was because
that's
there's not supposed
though.
To be.
He's a bee, like. She's a human. Like, they're not supposed to have chemistry. Because at the end, when they finally got together and she accepted him, our patrons are going to think we're trolling them. Lads, we've not made up this plot. Like.
Wait a second. Oh my God. She's a swan and he's a bee. Yeah. That's the birds and the bees.
Oh yeah, even better. So basically,
what's this movie trying to say?
I have no idea.
Is it?
But they had good chemistry once they accepted each other. I thought they had brilliant chemistry. So in fairness to them, I think that's deliberate.
They were able to switch it on.
Yeah.
But then that I find that frustrating when I'm watching a rom-com and 90% of it is. It was interesting. I'm like, this is not a romantic film because there's no. They're not going to get together. This movie's going to have a different ending.
Yeah, I thought at one point one of them was going to emigrate. I thought he was going to be gay.
So, but then the problem is, this 180 at the end doesn't ring true. It's just really confusing.
Do you think they drink like thimbles?
And then it's like, oh, and I'm a bee.
Do you think they drink thimbles of Guinness with their dinner every night? I think Guinness saw this movie and were like, we need to get Jamie Dornan out.
Yeah, he's our man. That's our guy. He knows how to drink a Guinness.
Anyway, so that was it on casting. I couldn't find anything about the Christopher Walken, how he got cast, but I just know that, like, if Christopher Walken says he's going to be in your movie, you're obviously going to cast him. And it's so funny because you just watched Christopher Walken in
Severance.
He's so good in that. And I would say if he didn't have the accent, he is good in this, but the accent's just unforgivable.
It's okay.
It's unforgivable.
Do you know, there's one line I really liked, and I thought he actually delivered it well. It's when he says, I can't even do his accent. I just don't see a clear path. And Jamie Dornan says that. From where to where? From me to you.
I know, and their father and son.
Yeah. I thought that was a good bit of writing.
The weirdest thing, I've never heard anyone wrap their name around a name like this, and everyone in this film does it, and I don't know why. It must be because of how the director said it. So her name's Muldoon, M-U-L-D-O-O-N.
By the way, nobody in Ireland is called Muldoon.
But if they might
not
be.
I guarantee you, if you do the census
next year,
it's not a single person.
But if they are, they'll be called Muldoon. This is how they say it in this movie. Muldoon. And every time anyone says the name, they're like, Rosemary Muldoon.
Rosemary Muldoon.
It's mad how they're going on with
and
that
who
name.
Else? Well, he's a. I did like the thing of you're not a Kelly, you're a Riley. You know all that. Or you're not a Riley, you're a Kelly.
At one point I thought he was implying the mom had cheated on him, but it wasn't even that good. I liked Christopher Walken's moment before he voluntarily gave up his oxygen and potentially blew himself up. When he was like...
Blew himself up?
He said,
sorry, what?
Because Jamie Dornan was like, you can't have your pipe and your oxygen. And he was like, don't worry about it, mate.
Do you think he blew... he blew up himself.
No,
that's how he chose to go.
He just deliberately slept without his oxygen. Yeah. But he kind of tells Jamie Dornan, like, and this is kind of an interesting thing to tell someone, I didn't love your mother. I only married her because I needed to continue the bloodline to pass the farm on to someone. And then one day I did love her and then that was grand.
See, that's what I think. I think there is something interesting
it's
in
like
here
the Moonstruck
in terms
thing.
of romanticism versus pragmatism. Mm-hmm. Right. So he married he married the woman out of for pragmatic reasons, and became a romantic later. So romance can happen later. And then you've got the John Hamm character versus the Jamie Dornan character, which represent complete mad romanticism, believing you're be like the most like in weird out there romantic. Like that's he's romantic about nature to the point where he believes he's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus John Hamm, who says things like marriage is an arrangement, and you know, it's a
John Hamm and Emily Blunt have brilliant chemistry.
They did.
And when Emily, they had some really good dialogue that I thought was very funny, and they delivered it very well. And he's like, "I manage money for a living," and she's like, "True. Oh, that's great. It can't manage itself, can it?" And she's just like ripping the piss out of him, and I enjoyed all that. Anyway, onto the shooting.
She's a witty character.
Yeah, she's a good character. Yeah. She's just totally mad by the end, though. Like they're absolutely. I enjoyed that they're just both mad as hatters by the end. So the cost was $5 million over 5 weeks. That's a very low budget film, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it took in. I couldn't quite figure it out because it got released all over the place because of the pandemic. It never got the release that it would have had.
I've seen Irish tourism ads which look better than this.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's really interesting to hear him shooting in Ireland. He says, the director, you go to Ireland, it's beautiful countryside and those endless wild skies and having all these actual animals and wind and rain and sunshine that pass through the frame about every 15 seconds. It's an adventure to shoot in Ireland and a positive one. Like, that's really nice.
That's nice.
And then he
seems like a nice guy who's very talented and well-intentioned. I just don't think... And look, you have to applaud anyone for making a movie. Like, it's incredible that he...
Yeah.
Wrote this, made a play, turned it into a movie, but it's just it just didn't work.
No, I
don't think so.
I mean, it's been so slated that I actually do feel bad for him, because I'd say it was a passion project and he probably loved doing it.
Well, at least he's not here. This is only where
he is a patron.
He
is a patron. I spotted recently.
So ox.
So anyway, another quote about him. Just I guess how much he loved filming here. He said, "It's a love letter to Ireland. It's filmed in the western town of Ballina, where the locals put up posters welcoming the cast." And he said, "What's interesting about shooting in rural Ireland, where we were, it's like another time. It's about the simple things and living off
the
farm."
Yeah, that's when you set the movie, man.
And that being the main focus of your day, yeah. And he's obviously like, "Oh, I've immersed myself in this Ballina, like in this beautiful countryside for 5 weeks." Meanwhile, normal Irish people go about their daily lives, not spending all their time in the past. And then interestingly, just one note on the script from Jamie Dornan: "I have never read anything as lyrical as Wild Mountain Time. We almost talk in verse. John has written it in such a way that you can't really wait to say the words."
Oh wow.
Yeah. This is wild to me that he said that about the...
Is it wild? Mountain Time?
Then do you want to hear a bit about the...
Maybe it works better as a play.
Oh, I would say it works 100 times better as a play. Because in plays...
Because a play is a bit sort of...
You expect them to jump in and start in the action.
But it's also not so grounded in a time. It can be...
Exactly.
It can be a bit sort of ethereal almost.
Like, the only reason... There was only two reasons we knew this was set in the present. So one, Emily Blunt says, "I want to freeze my eggs" or something. And then the other is, we noticed on the tax discs.
We were pausing because we were like, there's no way. We're like,
we thought it was a continuity error.
Because the flashbacks with them as kids, we were like, right, okay, that's the 50s. So then we were like, okay, must be the 80s. And then the house would look like for the 80s. So we were like, okay, we're in the 80s. Then we saw an 06 license plate and we're like, oh wait, no, we're in the noughties. And then we're freeze frame. We were like detectiving this, like we're looking at the tax code.
Code said 2019, and we were like, "What a continuity error."
Where are
And then she says freezing her eggs, and we're like, "Wait, what?"
Then she flies Aer Lingus to New York.
Yeah, but you could fly Aer Lingus
to see the Lion King.
If she'd been flying Concorde, that would have been epic. Okay, and then this is all Shanley said about Christopher Walken. He said, what did he say again? Oh yeah, I mean, you have Christopher Walken, you radio up to some planet and he sort of parachutes into this world for a little while, does whatever it is he's decided to do, and then he just beams away to wherever he came from.
That's pretty much how you described it.
He's basically saying Christopher Walken did not give a F and was having an absolute laugh.
Sounds like sort of Marlon Brando level sort of stuff, isn't it?
Do you want to hear some of the reviews of Christopher Walken?
Yeah, go on.
Chicago's Sun-Times critic Richard Roper wrote, "I'll say this for Wild Mountain Time. It is maybe my favourite opening of any movie this year. Imagine Christopher Walken putting on an Irish accent and saying that in voiceover. As dead. In, like, welcome to Ireland, I'm dead." And then I'll see critic Michael McGranahan added, Christopher Walken should never, ever be asked to speak in an Irish accent again.
I mean, it was the main draw, let's face it. Like, that was the thing from the trailer. Oh, yeah, I was like, Christopher Walken with it.
But I think this movie actually, there's a thing of like people don't want to watch so bad it's good, but when something's got a shocker of a trailer and all the reviews are just like one stars, that doesn't get you views. Like, they got one stars.
Reviews. I think because, yeah.
Like, it doesn't work for Blackbird either. Blackbird didn't do well at the box office.
It's also not so bad. These movies, the movies that are so bad they're good, don't do well at the box office. But they'll have a long life as a cult classic, right?
I don't think this will either, though. It's just too
Blackbird
weird.
Blackbird might. I'm not sure about this. But yeah. the end is so out there, you kind of have to see it for yourself.
Do you know what
But then nothing. You're almost better off just being told the ending rather than there's nothing to experience. He just says it.
No,
and then,
it was truly
and then
wild.
It's never mentioned again.
That was one of the most fascinating cinematic experiences.
I'm a bee. Okay, great. I love you.
That's really shocking, though. Like, that's a Luke, I am your father moment film.
Yeah, it was. I was not expecting it.
The other thing, though, I have a theory on that cult classic piece, right, that I've just come up with, and patent is pending on it. So, you know the way we used to watch, like, bad movies when we were teenagers and we'd watch them loads and we'd have a laugh?
Yeah.
Do you know what teenagers are watching these days?
Good stuff?
No, TikTok and
TikTok.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
They're not sitting around watching Blackbird and laughing at it. They're not sitting around and watching Mile Mountain Time. Anyway, back to some more fun facts. The accents and acting.
You have never sounded older in this
I know,
moment.
But they're not, though.
The kids these days are watching TikTok instead of Wild Mountain Times.
I mean, like, young teenagers where we used to stay up late at night and watch movies. Yeah. They'd just be on their phones now. On the accents that I mentioned in the intro that we... I had listened to Emily Blunt talking about, like, taking the process really seriously on the Empire podcast. So what Dornan and Blunt did was that they worked with this famous dialect coach, Brendan Gunn, and they listened to tapes of people from the region. Dornan, he grew up in Belfast, wanted to sound less metropolitan. But surely it's also that he needed to sound like he was from Mullingar, not Belfast. And then some on Twitter have ridiculed the accents in the trailer. Lol, Shanley said, if the character sounded exactly like his relatives spoke, no one would understand them. You have to make the accent more accessible to a global audience, he says. What he didn't say was that therefore Christopher Walken could just have an American accent. And then in terms of them working together as they prepared, Blunt felt really connected to Jamie Dornan. She said, there was a real essence of Jamie and I being kindred spirits, and I just found him to be so utterly charming in this role and so willing to look silly and be silly.
Be silly?
And be breathtakingly uncomfortable in his own skin, and I think all of those qualities are so touching. I agree with that. I think... it's an awful shame if you're going to be playing a character like that, that, like, the movie doesn't... makes a bit more of it, you know?
I think he's committing. I really do. And I'm not surprised that you read out his comment about loving the dialogue and getting to say it.
Jamie Dornan was like... this was probably his favourite movie. Like, he hated 50 Shades of Grey.
You could,
like,
see in the Shades of trilogy that he is... yeah. He is not... doesn't want to be there.
Well, I tell you what, how his method acting...
Go on.
In some warped way, I got myself to a point where I believed that I was him. In the end, when I revealed the secret to Emily Blunt...
does that mean Jamie Dornan is a bee?
Yeah, I got my... this is what Jamie Dornan said. I got myself to a place where I totally believed that I was a bee.
What? What? You've been sitting on this quote.
I've been waiting.
The whole time.
There's been a narrative to my fun facts. And then he said, you know what's so funny? That day I approached Shanley and said, Shanley, there's something I haven't asked you. It was the morning of the scene and I was like, when he says that, does he actually believe he's a bee? Or is it just saying that as a dramatic thing? And Shanley was like, sure, we all believe we're something we're not, right? And that was the extent of the conversation they had about that interview.
Even Jamie Dornan was confused by what was going on. And he asked the person that wrote it and he answered, sure. We all think we're...
and Jamie Dornan was
what?
Like, I believe I'm a bee, but does my character believe he is a bee? And then finally, we don't...
how,
just like,
sorry, how method did Jamie Dornan get? Is he like...
he was dressed as a bee.
Is he like, yeah, is he like the guy from The Simpsons? Like the Spanish guy.
Do you know what Jamie Dornan was doing? He was carrying pollen from flowers across the fields. And then we wouldn't normally like read out
that
other
is
people's...
amazing.
We wouldn't normally read out other people's reviews, but I have to read an extract from Peter Bradshaw's review in The Guardian. So he gave it one star. And this is just an extract. Here's a sublime awfulness and condensation. Oh, there is a sublime awfulness and condescension to this American vision of Ireland. a mind-boggling stew of bizarre paddy whackery that makes John Ford's The Quiet Man look like a documentary about crack dealers. Two of its stars, Emily Blunt and Christopher Walken, both playing Irish people, engage in a colossal intergenerational battle for who can do the worst Irish accent. Blunt and Walken's Broke Off makes this the King Kong v Godzilla event of inauthentic Irish voices. It's supposed to be happening in the present day, but it might as well have been happening in 1958. Blunt plays Rosemary, a beautiful, sharp-tongued farmer's daughter in County Westmeath. And isn't she in love with the soft Egypt from the farm next door? And then he makes a really interesting point, skip to the end of his review. I couldn't help remembering how Angelica Houston's film Agnes Brown was based on the novel The Mammy by Brendan O'Carroll, who then went on to develop the same story into the TV comedy Miss Brown's Boys. That was really weird. And then he says, maybe O'Carroll can take over Blunt's role for a new show, Rosemary's Roving Honeybee. See, critics love reviewing bad movies. Yeah. And then Donald Clark, who our Irish listeners will probably know, is
the Irish Times film critic.
And he's written at the top, because remember it was advertised way, it was talked about for way longer before it actually came out because of the pandemic. And he goes, Wild Mountain Time, be japers, isn't it only after arriving at last? The accents are the only thing that aren't terrible in this woeful mixploitation flick. Love that mixploitation. I've never heard that term, have you?
Mixploitation.
M-I-C-K.
Oh, M-I-C-K. Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, play on the blaxploitation.
Yeah.
And it's funny, though, he's saying the accents aren't that bad, which is also what we were saying. I actually think that, like, maybe English people thought the accents were worse than they actually are.
I think besides Christopher Walken, which is just, it's something to hear.
Something to
Christopher
behold.
Walken's very in unique way of speaking.
I'm Irish!
In an Irish accent. That's something else. But yeah, I will say to Emily Blunt and Jamie Dornan, I think it was a good effort.
Yeah.
I think they did really try. But I think you're kind of just doomed to fail because it's not authentic. They are doing...
The language
it's
is
very
weird.
Difficult to do. It's
I mean,
a
how can you
task.
Deliver the line, I'm a honeybee, in a good accent? And then, actually, Donald Clark pulled out this line, which I'd forgotten about. He's saying, like, why do they keep saying they're in Ireland? And then he said, remember Emily Blunt said this line, tell me, standing on this holy land of Ireland... Why shouldn't you marry me? It's like, who would ever refer to it as this holy land of Ireland? Like, what woman in 2019 who's like an independent woman? She's a farmer. She's like really self-sufficient. She like flies to New York to see the ballet.
She cuts the turf by herself. That's a two-man job.
That's an actual line from the film, by the way. That's a two-man job. And then there is a recurring joke throughout, which you haven't mentioned yet. I'm at the end. That's fun facts are done now. Where Jamie Dornan and everyone thinks he F-U-C-K's donkeys. And no one seems that surprised. Yeah. And now that I know that he thinks he's a honeybee, that kind of makes sense.
I did find that quite funny as well, this character who only arrives with bad news.
Which we all have neighbours like that.
That's real, you know. Yeah. There's some stuff in here, there's some nuggets of like genuine Ireland in here where it does ring true. Like I think he did sort of see, so he translated some reality into here, but it is just...
And see, paddy I do
whackery
enjoy...
is the right word for it. It is just such a rose-tinted, bizarre story that it cannot succeed.
Yeah. But then it's almost a shame because the bad accents and the kind of naffness of it drowned
out... It was also
out.
The drawing point. I mean, that's why we're all here, right?
Well, but then it kind of drowned out. Like, I feel like all the headlines should have been like, Jamie Dornan's a bee.
Is a bee.
Though I guess people don't tend to like comment on the end of films or whatever. Like, this, you know the way you'd see those BuzzFeed articles and they're like, what happened in this would truly shock you? Like, that actually needed to be a headline for this film.
I would love, this would be a great pairing with Jupiter Ascending where Channing Tatum is a dog.
What?
Right?
What's
and like,
that?
People as animals, right?
I don't remember that movie.
And then Cats. That could be another one you could watch.
That would be fantastic, yeah. I just want to see like, if so she thinks she's a white swan, but he thinks she's a flower and that he's a bee. What is happening in the bedroom with these three creatures? And also, like, it's kind of lame the way she flew all the way to New York and then, like, kissed John Hamm for 1 second. It's like, please. What are you doing with your life?
Guys, I am actually exhausted. I can't talk anymore about
this Wild Mountain Time.
I'd love to know what you guys think, though, because this is a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah,
I think
so fun.
We've been going for like an hour here.
Have we?
Oh, no, half an hour. It just feels like... Well, time moves differently in Ireland.
I've prepared us
Ireland.
A number. I've prepared a number to sing us off, and it's a number I was planning on singing at the local talent show soon.
Go.
Honey, to the bee, that's you for me.
No, do it as an old Irish ballad.
Honey, to the bee, that's you for me. Or we'll go.
This is the other thing they missed out on. If they were singing in an Irish pub, half of the pub would be talking and the other half would be shutting them.
Yeah. I wanted to know the truth. What's the other one we're singing? Oh yeah, this is no. I've got one. Squeeze me, honey, squeeze me. Shake me, honey, shake me. I ain't ever gonna spill a drop. So honey, don't stop.
Fantastic.
I've conflated a real song there and an ad for Honey in Ireland.
A lovely voice. Shh, Catherine Cullen. And the holy rock of Ireland, I do declare my undying love to you.
Thanks, Dave.
Also, I'm a wasp. Right, we better go. This has been really fun.
I still
fun.
Think that people who haven't seen the movie are genuinely not going to believe us about the bee thing.
No, if someone told me that, I would be very skeptical. It requires a healthy amount of skepticism.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
would it be a good,
drop your comments in the post about this fantastic film.
Guys, that was fun. Thank you for
forcing
us to watch that.
Yeah.
Let's watch a good film next month. Bye.
Bye.
Rosemary Muldoon. Rosemary Muldoon. The Muldoon farm where Rosemary lives.
It's not normal.
Rosemary Muldoon.
It's the finest car I've ever seen.
From me to you. Rosemary Muldoon.
It should freeze your whole body.